Brad Sesmat Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Good Monday. Thanks for being with us. We will have Devin Henry, our Sport of Speed analyst. Devin has a passion here in the Valley, unlike anybody else that I have read, that I have seen, that I have heard, and he is part of our team. When it comes to the sport of speed and NASCAR and Bubba Wallace and Confederate flags and Talladega, and why is Richard Petty flying in today to support Bubba Wallace, and why some people actually think a noose hanging in a garage was a good thing yesterday. We will talk with Devin on all those fronts. I've got my opinions as well on that front. Other than that, there's just a lot that's going on. I just want time. Some of these shows that we do in the stay-at-home era, I just want time because I can't, you can't script what's going on in Major League Baseball. You just can't. And yet today sounds like it's going to be the day. It sounds like today they're going to look at doing something, and I'll talk about that a little bit later in the show. You can't script when Brett Favre brings up Colin Kaepernick and Pat Tillman in the same sentence. You just can't. You can't script all these college players testing positive for COVID. You can't script when high school kids want to go out to a park and throw around a football and call it, you know, real football when it's not on a Sunday because they think colleges are going to be looking at them, and they're not, unless coaches sneak out there, which they do. So there's just a lot that's going on. Our opening comments are brought to you by Sagicor Now. Protect what matters most, and that is with life insurance. Can you guys believe we're already halfway through the year? Like, Christmas is 6 months from this week, right? I know there's people that are saying, I want Christmas now. The way that 2020's gone, I want it now, right? But are you handling the things in your life? As life has just gone by at this amazing clip this year, it feels like just yesterday that you had Rudy Gobert testing positive or Kobe Bryant going down in a helicopter crash. And here we are into June, but have you been addressing the things within your life you know you need to address, like life insurance? If you weren't to come home tonight, would everything be handled the way that you want? I always ask that question, and I hope that you would say, well, yeah, of course, or, well, I don't know, we added a kid, or we're expecting another one, or we adopted, or whatever it may be. Spouse and I broke up, got divorced, I don't know. But do you have things handled so that if something were to happen to you, things would be taken care of the right way that you want? All right, check into your life insurance, do it online. You can do it while you watch us do our thing. On your phone, just log on to Sagicor Now. That's Sagicor Now. We appreciate their support. Eric Sorensen is with us, Senior Executive Vice President of Nothing or Everything, depending on the day. How are you doing today?
Can you hear the fact that I'm pretty sure the neighbor is trying to blow my house down with their yard blower?
You know what I think you should do? I think you should, like, take off your earbuds, walk outside, and ask him, hey, can you bring that thing in running full speed? Brad wants to see exactly what you're blowing. Have him blow your house like Bill Murray in Caddyshack when he's blowing around there and getting everything out. It'd be fun.
We started the show at 10:06. I think they started the cleanup crew next door at like 10:01. So the timing is impeccable, but hopefully it'll be done sooner than later. So belated Happy Father's Day, by the way. I hope you had a good day yesterday.
I had an amazing day yesterday. When you have four kids and they all have their own little idiosyncrasies and they all find their way to you in some way, shape, or form, and you have a wife who says, hey, I think you need to go golfing today with me. And I said, that's a pretty darn good idea. So it's 109 and we're out there golfing. And I'm married to a saint and I've got four great kids. So.
Good. And you play a lot of golf, so 109 shouldn't be a big deal to you because I'm sure you've golfed in hotter temperatures than that.
I thought I was going to melt. No, I mean, look, the sports world today, I feel like we're doing politics and sports every day. Every time you and I see each other. And you know what? I'm fine with that because some of these conversations, most of these conversations need to happen. I don't know about Brett Favre comparing Colin Kaepernick to Pat Tillman needing to happen.
Please stop talking. Just please. No, just stop. Just please stop. Just stop.
when I saw that, and if you guys missed it, we regard Tillman as a hero, so I'd assume that hero status would be stamped on Kaepernick as well. This was Brett Favre to TMZ.
No need to compare impacts. Just don't do it. They're both doing great things for our countries, or did great things for our countries, and by doing different things. But just separate those two and let those two just have their own identity and how they are trying to reshape or try to reshape our country.
But there's a segment of the population that's watching you right now that says you're dead flat wrong. Colin Kaepernick did nothing right. They did nothing right.
Of course.
And then there's a segment of the population that believes that Pat Tillman was murdered. And there's a segment of the population that believes that he wasn't a true American. And there's a segment of the population that believes that it's really great that the NFL has their salute to service and they put their coaches, you know, in the military and all that. They really believe that that's all great. And as John McCain pointed out, yeah, we're actually spending money with you guys so we can have that. What are we doing? The late John McCain. And there's people who don't like John McCain. So it's like the Catholics don't like the Protestants. Protestants don't like the Hindus. The Hindus don't like the, you know, and it's a song back in the day. Back in the day, there was a song like that. And I'm hearing all this, and everybody's got their own little island. So when it's Brett Favre gets into the news cycle with Colin Kaepernick and Pat Tillman trying to compare them, and we have all this strife going on, it's mind-numbing. It's mind-numbing. You know, the Bubba Wallace story, there's people that actually think, friends of mine that are black, that think that this might be a tipping point in a good direction. I had never thought of that. I saw that and said, that's gross. It's disgusting. Somebody put a noose in a stall and they're going to find them unless the cameras were conveniently turned off. Or there's people like, oh yeah, it's just a PR stunt. NASCAR's just trying to dump. There's people that believe that stuff, Eric. Twisted.
This tree has so many different branches. And we could say that off of everything you and I have talked about over the last 3 weeks. It's just an octopus. Everyone's allowed to have their opinion. We don't have to agree or disagree with it, but everyone's allowed to have their opinion.
But some of the opinions, yeah, no, I agree. I have that old line. Everybody's entitled to their opinion, even if it's the wrong one. And when you're in Twitter, it's the world's largest sports bar. And now it's turned into the world's largest cesspool. The other night, I found myself watching Trump's speech in Oklahoma City. And there were people that were all over Trump because there's nobody there and empty seats behind him. And then it comes out that it was a group of millennials from the Democratic Party that bought up all the seats and they basically trolled on Trump, right? So I'm not taking a stance one way or another on Trump or Biden. I'm not. What I am saying is there's a story behind the story. So rather than just jump in and say, or as some front-facing talents were saying on the air, look at how jam-packed this place is. And it's, I don't know. I don't have a dog in the fight on this one. People, oh, you should have a dog in the fight on this one. No, I'm just merely watching saying it's not jam-packed. There's nobody behind him in the upper deck. And then you find out 24 hours later as to why was there nobody.
And it makes sense, Brad, when you think about it, now that I know the context and the backstory of why there were so many empty seats, it totally makes sense. At the time, initially, when you see it, you're like, oh. But then as the story develops, it's, millennials, smart, very smart. Yeah, making a statement without saying a word.
That's who they are. And so, and then there's people over on the Trump side, they're just losing their minds over these kids. They're losing their minds over some 20. And I've got three kids that are in their 20s that's what they see things so different. And I like that. It doesn't have to, well, this is the way it always has been. Well, no, maybe that doesn't work. You know, so these shows, which we usually just do that are on sports, I don't like stick to sports because there's times where I want to talk about life stuff. There's stuff that I see that's going on, stuff that you see that's going on. But this weekend was just jammed with things that had, there were sports names attached to the story but they weren't about stories that were going to be, you know, impacting on the field. I'm going to talk about baseball in the next segment, but I think the and Devin's going to join us on. By the way, I think Devin's going to be pretty good. This is Devin's first time in really doing a deep dive on this, and he's get you know this. If we get Devin together, which we haven't done since March, Devin will talk us under the car, under the jack stand, under the car about NASCAR. And we have no idea. At least I have no idea. I don't know if you have any idea. I have no idea what he's talking about. But it's fine because he is so passionate about NASCAR. And I have no idea how he's going to be today at 10:35 on everything because his sport, it's like the center of the universe right now in the sporting world.
No bigger story than NASCAR. When we went out there, when you and I went out there in the spring and Devin gave us like the guided personal tour of PIR, I probably understood about 48% of what he was talking about when we were like walking through the pits and all that, and he was going through all the cars. I was like, this is clearly your passion.
Oh my gosh, it's his deal. So we're gonna have him on in about 15 minutes, and we're really looking forward to that. All right, baseball. There actually might be something to talk about with baseball. That's next. Got a couple things in this segment, and then we'll have Devin Henry with us on Sport of Speed. I know you guys are tired of baseball. I'm tired of baseball. I think, Eric, you're tired of baseball. All of us are done. We just want to know, when are they going to play? And again, today, there is optimism that something could be reached. There's one person out there. I don't know, Eric, if you're on the same page as me on this one. If Bob Nightingale, who was with us a couple weeks ago on the show, continues to say there will be a season. Guys like Ken Rosenthal, I have a great deal of respect for Ken. I have not sensed the same level of optimism when I read what he writes. And those are really the two. And there's others that do a good job. But those are the two that I feel like are the most level-headed on this. There's some guys over on ESPN that just kind of talk in circles to fill a segment. I don't feel like I'm really learning anything. So, and I'm not saying that about everybody, but those are the two that I feel like are really pretty balanced on this. And Bob continues to say there's going to be a season. So today, Bob had on social that there's going to be a vote by the players again this afternoon, the leaders on the players' side, and that they're looking at what could be a 47 to 52 game season. The number keeps shrinking. That's the problem. Like, are we really going to get something out of a 50 game season? Are we going to get marketing pushed down our throats saying a race to the finish, a sprint to the playoffs, and all that stuff?
I'm sort of taking the we'll see approach. I'm sure you remember Pedro Gomez came on with you back in, what, late March? And he said, there's about a 25 to 30% chance we'll see baseball. When you were on vacation, Jordan had Pedro on, and Pedro said, one of the biggest sticking points is the way the TV deal is structured with Major League Baseball. Because it's an election year, the playoffs have to end by the end of October. So every single day that goes by in June and maybe even into July, you're pushing the season back and shrinking the regular season because they still have to play the postseason and have it done by the election. I don't know what to believe, Brad. Is Bob Nightingale an insider? Absolutely. Does he know what he's talking about? Probably. Does Ken Rosenthal know what he's talking about? Probably. But one day it's good, one day it's bad. One day the sky is falling, one day the sun is shining. Who knows? Yeah, and there's such a huge gap between the players and the owners. It's great that Manfred and Tony Clark met, and it's encouraging that they had a positive meeting, but what will come of that positive meeting? Give me something concrete, not just the flipping and flopping back and forth of it's good, it's not so good, we're optimistic, we're pessimistic.
Well, it's like John Heyman had that they had settled, right? And again, he got used. And you can't, in a space like this, you cannot say it's done until it's done, because you also have the Scott Boros side of the equation, too. You can have Manfred and Clark, but if Scott Boros tells his group that's not happening, then, you know, that's not on the players' union side. That's an agent side. So there's really three sides to this deal. And I feel like while NASCAR, we'll just go back to NASCAR and golf. NASCAR and golf are out there. And yes, Nick Watney tested positive over the weekend in the PGA side and had all the players scared. I know I had golf on whenever I was around. When I was out, I would see golf that was on. Golf is an older demographic. I get it. But even yesterday when I'm out golfing, I've seen a bunch of kids that are in their teens and 20s out playing in 109 degree heat. They're keeping their sport out in front of people. Baseball has not been able to do that. We all thought that by July 4th, they would be starting. Really, they're about 2 weeks behind. Like, the July 4th idea was great. But let's just say, Eric, for argument's sake, that today they were able to come to an agreement. Probably be 2 to 3 weeks that they would ramp up. Probably still be right around the middle of July that they would get going. Okay, so if it's all of July, or middle of July, all of August, almost all of September, I think people would be fine with that. There's always been this rant of the season is too damn long. Now, is it too damn short? Is 50 games really a number that you look at and say, well, that's not really fair, because all that Clayton Kershaw is going to go do to get his money is have 10 starts, and he's going to go blow everybody away, 8 of those 10 starts. You know, you're just narrowing. That's like a playoff from July 15 because the season is so short. Does that help the Diamondbacks out at all?
Well, it's funny, Brad. One of my really good friends is a Tigers fan, and he and I were talking last week. I said, you know, the longer this thing goes, the shorter the season is going to be. You might see one of these teams that just on paper isn't good, but somehow jump out of the gate, start off 15-6. Yep. And because the season is so short, they may have a chance to make the playoffs, where in a 162-game season, they would have no shot.
No shot. No, that's right. That's right. It's, and there's also this side. I've talked to a couple of agents about this off the air. There's a side of, you're going to see owners that already know that they're going to bleed by playing this season. And you are going to see around the middle part of July players dumped that you would never think that you would see dumped because they want to get out from under their number. That's pretty disconcerting if you're sitting here in Arizona, a place that has already furloughed, laid off, gotten rid of a lot of employees, an owner that has already said we're going to lose money if we even open up, a building situation that's really not attainable if I'm to believe everything that's going on down there. So if I'm just looking here at the hometown nine, would they be one of those teams that opens up for business and suddenly tosses some bodies out in the street? If they say 100%, no way, that's not happening. If Derek came on with the day and said, nope, not happening, no way at all. Or, well, we have to take everything by as it comes to us. We have to analyze everything. And you can just read right between the lines pretty quickly as to whether a franchise is committed to keeping it all together. That's the other concern. Because if they throw bodies out in the street in July of 20, they're not going to be competing in July of 2021. Next year is already a wash.
For sure. For sure. And I know we talked about this a little bit last, I believe it was Thursday. Jason Stark of The Athletic wrote a huge takeout piece of talking about not just is Major League Baseball in trouble in 2020, but there's a lot of ramifications moving forward from COVID and everything that it's not on stable ground at all as a league. Like, we talked about it. There are teams that are borrowing money just to survive quietly in so much debt. And these banks are saying, we just can't give you any more money. You owe us millions of dollars just to operate your business. And yeah, it's not pretty for the Diamondbacks. I mean, they've gone through the layoffs, and internally, I'm not familiar with the financial situation, but it wouldn't surprise me. Like you said, they're probably going to have to cut some bodies. Okay, so players, that is.
Sure. Buster Olney just tweeted out, we'll go to break and then have Devin come on. Expectation has been that the union will reject the owner's proposal, and the next logical move would be for Manfred to implement a 60-game season. Here would be a productive curveball to help both sides move forward. He could implement at 102% pro rata. So he's talking about the financials. And fans don't want to hear that stuff. Fans don't care one bit. Fans just want to see some games. On the other side, Devin Henry, Sport of Speed, Bubba Wallace, what's his story, really? And Denny Hamlin, and much, much more. That is all straight ahead. And then Eric and I are going to talk about club football sevens and high schools being closed and all of that, that's still to come in the next half hour. All right, as promised, Devin Henry is with us from Sportive Speed here at Sports360AZ.com. Eric and I were talking about you earlier about the passion that you have for the sport. I don't know anybody in the Valley that covers it like you do in terms of just day in, day out. You know a lot about what's going on with the sport. I guess I just want to know from a personal level, what do you make out of the last, let's say, month of NASCAR coming back and all the races jammed together? Then off the track, where you have Bubba Wallace, you have a noose, you have the Confederate flag, you have a lot of things. What do you make out of the sport that you're passionate about right now?
It's just weird right now. The fact that when they came back, when they did, and there were so many storylines. For instance, a guy, Chase Briscoe, winning a race only days after his wife has a miscarriage, and he's crying on the front straightaway with that really big win at the most difficult track in NASCAR, and there's no one there. There's no sound. There's nothing there. We go to Bristol. There's a rivalry. They're bumping. They're banging. They crash. There's nothing. It's just silence. I can't even imagine what a place like that would have been like. You know, say fans are there, and then come to Talladega, which was supposed to be yesterday, they finally allow 5,000 fans into the grandstands, and we have our now double-digit rain delay on the season. I mean, we're still in the mid-teens of races that we've done this year. The way that NASCAR has come back has just been strange, just in the sense of coronavirus. And then when it comes to the social unrest and the fact that NASCAR is the most stereotypical, quote-unquote, racist sport there is, because of it being a Southern-grown sport, what NASCAR has done to make sure that they are inclusive of everyone. And you know, I think that coming out with the entire inclusiveness video that was put together by Bubba Wallace and Tyler Reddick, among a couple others like Dale Earnhardt Jr., on one hand, yeah, that's marketing. You know, you want to say, you know, the stereotypical sport that is known as being racist and being a Southern sport, we are inclusive. But on the other end, it's also just the right thing to do. This sport is so different than it was, say, even 15 years ago. Mm-hmm. And it's just, it was the right thing to do. And from the people who I know in the industry, both media-wise and in NASCAR, this is actually what they believe in. And I think that gets lost in some of the stereotypes that NASCAR gets. This was what they actually do believe in right now in NASCAR.
Mm, that's well put. Bubba Wallace, I've had people have said, I didn't even know who this guy was a week ago, 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago. What's Bubba Wallace about, Devin? Do you know well enough in your research and in talking and drivers and just what within the sport of speed, Bubba Wallace?
Well, Bubba has been through a lot as a person. So Bubba is a nickname. His real name is Darrell Wallace Jr., and that is his father's name. And a handful of years ago, there was a massive falling out, and so he moved to the name Bubba. It's essentially a separated household as an adult. And so, first of all, he had to go through that as a person. Then he had to go through running in the equivalent of a NASCAR AAA series. It's called the Xfinity Series. And he was running for a championship. And at the time, he was a championship favorite for Roush Fenway Racing. And middle of the year, they said, we don't have sponsorship. Sorry, you're done. So he could have been running for a AAA championship. He was in the hunt. He was probably top three guy in the series. And he was out of a ride. He was out of a job for a year and a half. And so then he overcomes that. But the NASCAR community knows Bubba extremely well. He's someone who has dealt with a lot of depression. And he has been he's been a gift to the sport. I mean, Brad, we have started the conversation with Blue Cross Blue Shield Arizona. We know how difficult it is for athletes to come out and talk about mental health and depression. And he has been so open discussing that, not just from his point as a Southern African American, forget that, as a person and as an athlete, he's been so open and inclusive in doing that. And now all this comes out, and obviously he's going to be a guy who's vying for that change. And I think that a lot of things are being misinterpreted about him, because the first thing people read is Richard Petty Motorsports. If you know anything about NASCAR, you know the great Richard Petty. Well, Richard Petty Motorsports is a struggling organization. They don't have fast cars. They don't have good equipment. And so that run at Martinsville last Wednesday was miraculous, coming home in the top 10. for a team like that, that's wild. So he doesn't get great finishes because he doesn't race for a great team, but he has a lot of success in NASCAR. He's won at Martinsville in what you would call the Double A series, the truck series. He's won at Eldora, so that's two of the biggest races that series runs. And he is a great race car driver, but you know, people outside the sport don't really know him as that because he runs in the back because he runs for an organization that doesn't have the money to compete like a Hendrick Motorsports or stuff like that. And the news last night was gut-wrenching as a fan, hearing that there was a noose in his garage stall, first of all, because of how despicable that is in the first place. But another thing that just ticked me off is that is Bubba's home track, Alabama Talladega. That is his home track, and that was sad to see, but Bubba wears his emotions on his sleeve. He is a guy who will tell you it as it is. He is unfiltered, and he has really been, before even any of the civil unrest happened, a gift to the NASCAR community.
Before I get you out of here, and that's well put on Bubba Wallace, talking with Devin Henry, Sport of Speed. So the Confederate flag, Bubba Wallace goes to NASCAR. NASCAR steps in and says, we're getting rid of all of it. This was really the first weekend at Talladega, and I read several reports, saw several reports or planes flying over about support the Confederate flag. But Devin, the idea that if fans walked into the track, they are going to be told to remove their shirts that have the Confederate flag on that. So I'm looking ahead to Phoenix. Phoenix usually just a couple of races. Not this year. This is the championship race. It's going to be here. There's going to be people from around the country that are going to come here. I don't know if you've talked to Julie Giese over at the track. She's the president over there. What do we do to make out of NASCAR putting their fists down, even to the point of you can't even walk into the track with a shirt on? How are they going to enforce that here in Phoenix? And to the NASCAR community here in Phoenix, do they just kind of say, or right on, or not a chance? Do you have a feeling about that?
Arizona is a southern state, if you will. I mean, not back to the days of what the Civil War was or anything like that. But yeah, yeah. I know I have a number of friends who I knew a couple of guys in high school who had it on his hat every single day because that was it's a rebel flag. It's a southern flag. It's a sign of pride for Southern people. But I think that right now, and even personally in my own learning, you know, it is a symbol of hate in the way that it is used. Now, I know not everyone uses it that way, but right, that's not necessarily the point. That's what a lot of people aren't understanding right now. But when it comes to Arizona, I don't see it a ton. And talking to a guy like NASCAR champion Brad Keselowski, he was in a media press conference and he goes, in Michigan, where I'm from, you don't see that. Yeah. If someone's flying that in Michigan, it ain't for a good reason. And yeah, so there's going to be tracks where this isn't a problem. I think Phoenix, for the most part, the locals, the people that I know get it. And so I don't think it's going to be out of track for locals. I think that you're going to see push from people across the nation who might want to come in and try to make their own statement. But being in Talladega, this is the track that I think sees the most of the symbol. And I think that in part of this ban is just kind of get ahead of what I think they knew was going to happen in Talladega, because this is an area that really has that on almost every RV in the infield. But in terms of how they're going to police it, NASCAR is saying that they're going to police it like they would, say, any other restricted item, say fireworks, say, you know, coolers that are too big or something like that. If you bring it up, okay, you got to go back to your car, you got to go put it away. So that's kind of where it's going to be checked at the front gate, like they would say for fireworks or other banned items like knives and stuff like that, whatever. So that's how their policing is going to be at the front gate. And it's going to be, you're not allowed through that gate if you have prohibited items, which now does include not just the flag, but any symbolism of that flag on what you might be wearing or bringing into the track.
Good stuff there. Good insight. Appreciate your time. Stay safe. Thanks.
See you, Brad. Thanks.
Devin Henry, Sport of Speed, over on the website at sports360az.com. Nobody works it as hard as he does here in the Valley and in Arizona. He knows all, tells all on that front. Eric is back with us. We're going to get into this whole 7-on-7 cottage industry and much more. That's next. So on the high school end of things, as we cover pro college high school day in and day out here, over the weekend, there was a 7-on-7 event that was held out at Fear Farm, which is like the 101 and 10, I-10. We're seeing the coronavirus numbers grow in Maricopa County. And we're in a space where I've wondered aloud if we're really trying to push this whole return to play stuff. And this is not a high school. The event at Fear Farm was not a high school sanctioned event, from my understanding. There's 7-on-7 businesses out there making money off kids, which is fine. There's gurus that are out there that make money off of kids. Some of the gurus I like. Some of them are just a waste of time and money. There's recruiting experts out there that make money off of kids. Most of those guys are a waste of time and a waste of money, most of them. So all that to say, Eric wanted to be out at high schools this week. So share your story first, and we'll get into this whole, you know, where are we at pushing kids out there to try to return?
So last week, the plan was to make a trip out to the West Valley and hit Verado, Desert Edge, maybe a couple other schools out in that area. Since I live in the North Valley, if I'm going to go to the West Valley, it's worth my time to hit a couple different schools. And I found out that the Agrafia School District has essentially closed down the media to all the schools within the district after what happened at Millennium. I believe a player or two players or a coach or someone got COVID. Last Wednesday, now all the ADs are starting to pull back, which makes sense. I was also looking into going to a camp tomorrow morning at a Phoenix high school, and the head coach texted me back this morning and said that his AD is not allowing anyone on campus except for players, coaches, and staff.
Yeah, and I think that makes sense, actually.
It does.
I went to a couple high schools, and I texted the coach ahead of time saying, I'm going to show up, I'm going to shoot a few pictures for the website, or I just want to see what's going on. And the coaches both said, fine, no problem, no worries. I'm out in the Wild Wild West, which is the Southeast Valley. So there's high schools on every street corner out here. I guess where I'm at today, we're on the 22nd of June. High schools start in a month. If you're not a high school parent, you're not going to understand this conversation. Just so know that you're not going to understand this. All you're going to want is, when are we going to play football? Me, I look at high school kids, and even though, Eric, you don't have kids, you have tons of kids. Kids that you come in contact with all the time through the years. When high school kids are not allowed to interact in person, they can interact on this. That's not the same. It is damaging. At the same time, should we be looking at kids as lab rats? Nobody, no district, no district AD, no principals, nobody in school administration has ever been through a pandemic. So to think that, well, you know, we could just go on out and it's, you know, they're asymptomatic or they're really strong or they're this or that. There's already been two that have tested positive. You were out of Brophy the other night. There's one there. There's one at Millennium. I got a heads up over the weekend of two more. They just haven't become public yet. It's only a matter of time. And so when people say, well, you know, it's not that big of a deal, it's just a media creation, I don't know. Do you have aging parents that are in their 80s? You probably don't, if that's how you feel. Because if they get it, they're done. That's how it works. So I guess I'm looking at all this saying, I'd rather see kids get back in school, into classes, and some sort of structure, which will then lead to football having a chance, a puncher's chance, at taking place, rather than, well, we got to be out here in June because we don't want kids hurt in August. And I actually got that from a district AD. You have to understand, Brad, we don't want our kids getting hurt in August. I'm not hearing this.
School is step one. There's no doubt that has to be the first step. The one thing, Brad, that's really just sucks about all this is, like you said, last week I was at Brophy, the week before I was at Horizon. Both of those programs have had a player or a school representative associated with the football program test positive. both of those schools were so careful about social distancing, about wiping down equipment, about not having more than 8 or 9 players in each individual workout. It's a virus. They could have gotten it at home. They could have gotten it in a car. I know one thing that really concerns coaches is that it's great that everyone's social distancing, but these players are carpooling to practice together. Makes no sense. I mean, come on. Like, it's going to be so hard to keep this virus away, even if these high schools who are allowed and cleared to work out are following every single protocol.
So I went over to Basha, and I was over at Castile. Two programs that are in the Bermuda Triangle, the Southeast Valley. Preston Jones wrote for us, the site, about 3 weeks ago, a very well thought out, well intentioned. And of course, there were some snickering football dads saying, oh, well, you no wonder why he's not getting the guys at Hamilton and Chandler are getting.
And Preston doesn't mince words. Like, you know, what he sees is what he says.
Yeah. And it's not, and look, I'm not taking shots at Chandler or Hamilton. I think Hamilton, to just see them put on their social media how they're wearing their 7-on-7 gear is more than a little much. You know, this is not the time to be out there trying to recruit other kids to come to your school. That's what's going on there. Look at how great we are. And I understand this. Schools are about recruiting players and students. Schools get paid by each student who enrolls at their school. They get money for that. So I just feel like, you know, if it's Williams Field putting stuff up on social, which they're doing, or Hamilton putting stuff up on social, which they're doing, which other schools can't even get to that space because they're either A, not working out, or B, the coaches are just a little bit more conservative, to show things that are like, look at us and what we're doing here in June, is wrong. And if I had David Hines on today, I would say, I don't want to hear about the AIA listening to the schools. I need somebody. I need somebody to just put the fist down and say, if we cannot all be on an equal playing field, then we're not going to have these workouts in June. It's really that simple. And if there is an uptick, and it's more than an uptick, it's been a brush fire here in our community, then let's stop this until after the 4th of July. You have this week, you have next week. 3 weeks ago, it looked like things were turning the corner. So when I have people say, well, you don't know what it's going to look like in 16 days. You're right. Hospitals could be overflowing in 7. You're right. But I think being conservative here, because we're not in the middle of the season. Yeah, if we get to July 21st when schools open up out here, and then weeks to follow over at where Brophy is or around the valley, it's not everybody starts school uniformly. But if we're sitting here on July 21st and there's no conditioning going on, then yes, the games the first week, the 0 week, have to go. They have to be either pushed back or postponed.
And I think, Brad, that's best case scenario. I mean, I'm looking at this as August 21st, how about September 21st?
No,
I just can't see, because the COVID numbers, the way it's been, more people are getting tested. And now that we have the mask policy, that's all well and good. But we're going to, like, the tests are essentially a week to 2 weeks behind. So we're not going to see that thing flatten out for at least another 2 weeks.
Right.
So in the next week or so, when you see the numbers keep escalating, just accept it, because that's the reality of the situation. It sucks because a lot of the seniors around this time of year should be going to camp. They should be going to Ash Fork. Yes. They should be going to Northeast Arizona. They should be going to California. That's a great bonding team experience. And none of that is happening this year. Understandably so.
I had a coach yesterday morning send me a text, Father's Day morning, send me a text saying, hey, can I talk to this coach? Do you have their number? Because I want to know what's going on with their weight room and how they're trying to go through the weight room into stage 2. These coaches care, okay?
No doubt.
I'm not saying that they don't care, but I do feel like there's a little bit of lab mice mentality going on by, well, we have to do this because we don't want players to get hurt in August. That's not right. All this is if the power programs, in no particular order, if Saguaro and Centennial and Hamilton and Chandler's coaches said, we're shutting down our programs for now. This is in the best interest of the state. We just need to do that. You know what? If Williamsfield wants to keep going, knock yourself out. But I think sending the message to the rest of the state that we are actually concerned about this rather than, well, you know, and I got blowback because I wrote something about this in depth. But I put a tweet out on Friday, got crushed. Fine. That's the way it works. Felt like, you know what? I probably should drill down on this. Wrote a column about it. What I didn't take into account, one thing that I didn't take into account is assistant coaches losing money because there wouldn't be practices. I did not take that into an account. And if you were an assistant coach and you were upset by that, I get it. But guess what? Guys, we're not going to work on the field today. We're going to Zoom today. And we're going to bring in somebody to talk to you about money. And we're going to bring in somebody to talk to you about social media. And we're going to bring in somebody to talk to you about dieting. And we're going to bring in somebody to talk to you about relationships. And we're going to do 40 minutes because that's what it is for these kids. It's 40 minutes. Pretty simple to put together an itinerary for them so the coach still gets paid, the player gets to Zoom, they stay out of harm's way in June. But then, Eric, there are parents that just don't believe any of this stuff is true and it's all politicized.
It's sad because that's a great teaching tool, what you just represented. Yeah. No, it has nothing to do with the X's and O's. But later in life, they're going to get a lot more out of these life lessons than who to pick up at the back end of a cover two or what route to jump if you're a corner or what the quarterback read is on a zone read when the tackle dives or whatever or the end dives. There's more important things than football. And trust me, I love high school football.
Yeah.
It's what we live for. But there's just the bigger picture needs to be in focus right now.
Yeah, it's very frustrating to me because if you're a kid in band in the district we're in right now, there's been debate. I think Dr. Castile is going to do the right thing. There's been debate about, well, we just won't have orchestra. We won't have choir. We won't have the arts because, you know, we just can't control the distance. But we're going to have football.
Right.
We're going to have wrestling. And then I have people who say, you're cutting off your own business. No, I'm a dad first. I'm about your kid. I'm about them being better. Because the football stuff, they're just fortunate to be in that space. A choir kid, a band kid, an orchestra kid deserves every other opportunity. They just do. So, all right. We are done for today. Good stuff. I'll see you on the other side. I'm going to go work. Eric and I are going to go work now on our TV show on Fox Sports Arizona. Brad's the Smat Football AZ. Jared Nielsen's our chairman of the board. Appreciate him, as always, the Iron Man. And you can get all of our content on the website at sports360az.com. That's sports360az.com. Have a great day.